May I have the privilege of coming into your home right now, sitting down and talking to you personally about the Word of God and about the wonderful Savior that the Father has provided for sinners who will come to Him. We've been dealing with the Gospel through John these days, and we're in the fifth chapter. May I be permitted to repeat what I said yesterday? That between chapters 5 and 8 of this Gospel through John, there is given to us the great claims of Christ. These He makes before the multitude. In the first four chapters, He's talking to individuals. Now He's dealing with the multitudes, and our Savior gives to us the tremendous claims of who He is and what He is. Now, John the Apostle, when he wrote this Gospel, picked out certain signs, certain things our Savior did, and then coupled up with those things that He did, we have the great discourses of our Lord. And in the fifth chapter, we have our Savior claiming to be the judge over all. The chapter starts with a revelation of Jesus as the Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And the occasion for His claims comes out of the healing of a man, 38 years, who was totally helpless, who was round the pool of Bethesda with a great multitude of other sick people. And when the Lord came along, instead of healing them all, He just healed one man, 38 years infirmed. And I give you the reasons yesterday why I believed He only healed this one man was because he was the only man who had given up hope of getting into the pool. And Jesus healed him outside the pool, and Jesus healed him at a word, take up your bed and walk, and the same day was the Sabbath. May I just stop here? It's an amazing thing in John's Gospel, how He loves to do things on the Sabbath day, which seems to antagonize His enemies. Here in the fifth chapter, He heals a man 38 years infirmed. Same day was the Sabbath. In chapter 9, He heals a man born blind on the Sabbath day. Why didn't He heal him? By touching him or just saying a word? No, He made clay, put it in his eyes, and told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went and washed and came back seeing. Same day was the Sabbath. It seems to antagonize these Jewish leaders for the Lord to perform miracles on the Sabbath day. You read the four Gospels and you notice that our Lord seemed to deliberately do things on the Sabbath day to bring to their attention who He was and what He was, and to try to get them out of their traditions and the things that were never intended by God for the Sabbath day. Now, following this great this great miracle of healing the man, 38 years infirmed, comes this wonderful discourse, or should I say, the claims of Christ. And may I be brief concerning it? First of all, He claims equality with God in nature. You see, they were mad because He had done this on the Sabbath day, and they sought to slay Jesus, they sought to kill Him, because as far as they were concerned, He had broken the Sabbath. Our Lord's amazing answer was, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him, because He not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God. Here our Savior claimed equality with God in nature. In chapter 10 of John, He could say, I and My Father are one. And when He said that in John chapter 10, they picked up stones to kill Him. There is no question in the mind of the Jewish leaders that Jesus was claiming equality with God. Now later on in John chapter 8, they said to Jesus, God is our Father. They were not claiming equality with God. They were claiming a relationship. But when Jesus here said, My Father worketh hitherto and I work, then the Jews sought to kill Him all the more, not only because He had broken the Sabbath, but because He claimed to be equal with God. Now, if you or I were to say that, we would hold our hands up in horror. We wouldn't think of saying this. Now, when they said to Him, You make yourself equal with God, Jesus said, you're right. You're right. And the very next claim is, He claims equality with God in power. Listen to what He says. as the Father raiseth up the dead and makes them alive, even so the Son makes alive whom he will. I tell you, this is an amazing thing. Just as God has the power to raise the dead and make them alive, that's what the Son can do. This is a tremendous claim. Jesus here is claiming that he has authority over life and death. And as the living God raises the dead and makes them alive, that's what I can do. Jesus Christ is claiming equality with God, not only in nature, but in power. And then he claims equality with God in authority. He claims in these verses, from verse 22 to 30, he claims equality with God in that all judgment is in his hands, all life is in his hands, all resurrection is in his hands. Now you know and I know that no man would make such claims as this. But Jesus did. All judgment is in his hands. Listen to it. The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. In verse 27, and God hath given him authority to execute judgment also because he's a son of man. In verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. All judgment is in my hands. But not only that, all life is in my hands. Listen to what he says. As the Father raiseth up the dead and makes them alive, even so the Son makes alive whom he will. In verse 26, as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. He's a source of life. All life is in his hands. My friend, you take note of that. You take note of that. Jesus is saying all life is in his hands. And then thirdly, not only is all judgment in his hands and all life is in his hands, but he claims all resurrection is in his hands. In verse 24, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. In verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all who are in their grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. He claims all authority. All authority. If I were to go through the epistles further on in the New Testament, you'll find where the apostles declared that he was in authority over all principalities and powers. And wherever there is any intelligences, he has all authority. He's sovereign. This is a tremendous claim that Jesus makes. Notice the passage now. He claims equality with God in nature. He claims equality with God in power. He claims equality with God in authority. That all life is in his hands. All judgment is in his hands. All resurrection is in his hands. And the chapter closes with the testimony concerning his person. You have the witness of John the Baptist. You have the witness of the Scriptures. You have the witness of the Father. Indeed, he goes on to say in chapter 5 to these people, ye do search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. May I suggest this to you, my friend? Ye do search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. It is not that they couldn't come to him. They wouldn't come to him. Indeed, he ends the chapter. And I want you to notice this. He ends the chapter by declaring that if they had believed Moses and the prophets, they would have believed him. For Moses wrote concerning him. For if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. For he wrote of me. If you believe not his writings, How shall ye believe my words? And may I say today, and I'm sorry to say this, there are a great many preachers and theologians who will deny the first chapters of the Bible as being authoritative, as being authentic, as being historical. And you'll find when a person begins to question the Word of God, even the first five books of the Bible, you'll find them soon questioning the words of our Savior and questioning the person of Christ and the work of Christ and the resurrection of Christ and the exaltation of Christ. These things seem to run together. I declare to you, my friend, it's a dangerous thing to begin to question the authority of the Word of God. If the Bible is not authoritative, if it is not really the Word of God, then what revelation do we have of God? You see, and I'm very dogmatic about this. If the Word of God, if the Bible is not the Word of God, if we do not believe the Word of God, then you will not believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, what hope do you have of eternity? What hope do you have of having eternal life? What hope do you have of being freed from your sin? If you had not believed, if you did not believe in Moses, said Jesus, you wouldn't believe in me either, for Moses wrote concerning me. And I would urge upon you today to take this blessed book of John and read it through. This is why I'm spending time on it. The great claims of Christ are in these chapters, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And when we come to the end of chapter 8, Jesus Christ either ought to be the object of your worship, or you ought to cast him out as being unworthy of your worship and your trust. I declare to you, my friend, God has vindicated him by raising him from the dead. And I plead with your heart to examine the Word of God, to look at Jesus Christ, and ask yourself, what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? The Jews said, take him out and crucify him. What do you say? Will you put your trust in him and pass from death to life? And the Lord bless you for his name's sake.